it's on is beginning in verse number 7. The Bible reads, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." And we see here that Paul is first of all explaining that God has ordained him not to just be a preacher, but also to be a teacher of the Gentiles. And he says, therefore, or because of that, and then he gives some instructions to God's people on how they ought to conduct themselves. You see, it's not just our job as Christians, and especially as a preacher or a pastor, just to go out and win people to Christ and preach the gospel. Because Jesus Christ, before he ascended up to heaven, said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He talked about preaching the gospel to people. He said, as it says up on the wall here, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." He talked about baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then he said, "And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world." And so Paul here says, you know, I'm ordained a preacher. I'm going out and preaching the gospel and winning people to Christ. But he said, I'm also a teacher of the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to teach you the right way to live. He said, "Therefore, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel," and on and on. And what I want to preach about today is your clothing, your apparel. Here, Paul talks about modest apparel. And let me say this. This is a very timely sermon in Phoenix, Arizona in the month of May. This needs to be preached. And it really needs to be preached everywhere. But today, people have an attitude that your clothing doesn't matter. Now, I don't believe that for one second. In fact, everybody has clothing standards and ideas about what is right and wrong for clothing. For example, UC Berkeley. Does anybody think that that's a fundamentalist Baptist institution? University of California, Berkeley? That's probably the most left-wing, liberal, anti-Bible establishment in our country. And yet, even at UC Berkeley, a young man was arrested for coming to school wearing nothing but a backpack. Okay? Because even UC Berkeley had a rule that said, hey, you must wear a certain level of clothing. And coming to school wearing nothing but a backpack was unacceptable even at UC Berkeley. Well, I'll admit to you, my standards are a little bit higher than that. Okay? But they're not my standards. I'm going to preach to you what the Bible teaches about clothing. And this is a subject that the Bible deals with. Now, many people will mistakenly say this. Well, the outside doesn't matter. It's what's on the inside that counts. And we've all heard that before. But it isn't true. Now, is what's inside more important than the outside? Absolutely. Of course what's inside is the most important. But that doesn't mean that the outside isn't important. For example, when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for caring more about the outside than they did about the inside, he said, "Thou hypocrite." He said, "You appear good unto men. You're like whited sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but within you're full of hypocrisy." He said, "You're full of rottenness and dead men's bones." But this is what Jesus said was the solution. He said, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." He didn't say, "Clean up the inside because the outside doesn't matter." He said, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." So did he say he wants the outside clean? Absolutely. He just said the inside's more important. The inside comes first. But the outside should be a reflection of what's on the inside. And to say it doesn't matter is to throw out this passage that we're looking at right here, where it says that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, if this didn't matter, God wouldn't be saying it. And this isn't the only place he said it. And so let's talk about modest apparel and go through this scripturally. First of all, the Bible says, in like manner, look at verse 9, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety." Now, let's talk about those two words first of all. Shamefacedness and sobriety. First of all, sobriety means seriousness. Now, that tells me this is a serious issue. This isn't something that's a joke or it doesn't matter. This is a sobering issue that we need to take seriously. But what did he mean by shamefacedness? Well, go if you would to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Because first of all, when he begins to talk about clothing, he says that women need to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now, we're going to get into men's clothing this morning as well. But women's clothing is what we're dealing with in this passage. And honestly, that's probably the bigger issue today. You know, and it's, you know, and men have their own issues, and we'll get to that. But honestly, it's a big issue today with women's clothing, and I'm not afraid to preach about it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Maybe this will help you understand what he means by shamefacedness. He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame, notice that word, of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You see, all throughout the Bible, God associates nakedness with shame. Okay? Now, the first time nakedness is mentioned is when it talks about Adam and Eve. And with Adam and Eve, they were married. And so the Bible says that the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. Now, that's within marriage. That's normal to be naked and not be ashamed. But outside of marriage, it's shameful to be naked. Now, would you not be embarrassed to walk down the street totally naked? Of course you would, because it'd be a shame. You'd be embarrassed. It's a shameful thing. The Bible says this over and over. 2 Corinthians 5:3, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So the purpose of being clothed is to cover your nakedness and cover your shame. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 16, blessed is he that walketh and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Over and over again. I mean, I'm not going to turn to them all for sake of time. But over and over again, God says you ought to be ashamed to be naked. You know, to go publicly naked. Now, in front of your wife or your husband, that's normal. But you ought to be ashamed to be publicly naked. That's what the Bible teaches. So, the purpose of being clothed is to cover your nakedness. Now, when God says that women need to adorn themselves in modest apparel or put on modest clothing with shamefacedness, he's saying they ought to have enough shame and decency to cover their nakedness, to cover their naked body. That's the purpose of wearing clothing. Now, what does it mean to cover your nakedness? Go to Exodus 28:42. And let's go to the scriptures for this. Let's not go with an opinion. I'm sure a lot of people have different opinions about what is naked. Now, that guy at UC Berkeley, you say, well, he was wearing nothing at all. But that's not true because he was wearing a backpack. Okay. But would anybody seriously argue that that guy was not naked? No. I guarantee you, anybody would look at that guy and say, you're naked. Okay. Now, whether he's wearing a backpack or wearing a hat or wearing a sweatband around his head doesn't make any difference. That doesn't make him clothed. You wouldn't say that guy's clothed. You'd say he's naked. Now, different people might have different opinions about being what naked is. What level of clothing or what parts of the body need to be covered in order to say that you're clothed, that you're not naked? Well, God has the answer. Amen. Let's look in the Bible. It says in Exodus chapter 28:42, and this is talking about the priest. This is the commandment of what the priests were supposed to wear for clothing. And the Bible says, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Now, we don't usually use the word breeches today. We usually would use what word? Pants, right? But you've heard the expression, he's a little too big for his breeches. Or you've heard the expression, you know, breeches. It's just not really common in 2012, but everybody probably knows what it means. He says, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. And then God tells us how long these breeches need to be in order to cover the nakedness. It says, from the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. Okay. So God says here that in order for Aaron and all of his descendants, in order for them, for hundreds and hundreds of years in the priesthood, that are going to be wearing these outfits, he says, in order for them to have their nakedness covered, they're going to need to wear breeches that reach from their loins to their thighs. Now, let me ask you this. What are the loins? Well, the loins, I'll answer it for you. It's basically, I'll just put it this way. It's the area that we would call your lap, okay, just to use a delicate term, okay? And then everybody knows what your thighs are. Your thighs are the upper part of your leg here, basically from your knees on upward, okay? Now, if he was telling them from the loins to the thighs, and by the way, just to give you a little hint on what area is the loins, the Bible talks about how, you know, Levi was in the loins of his father Abraham when he gave tithes unto Melchizedek. That tells you that it has to do with the area that's for reproduction. Okay. Now, if God is saying that the pants or the breeches need to reach from the loins to the thighs, does that include the loins and the thighs? Or is it not including? Well, let me just give you a little hint. If it's not including the loins and the thighs, it would just be a string. Because the loins, listen to me out, the loins are adjacent to the thighs. I mean, you go from your loins to your thighs, because this whole lap area is known as your loins, and then you go straight to the thighs. So it would just be a little string or something. That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, when he says that your pants or your breeches need to reach from the loins to the thighs to cover the nakedness, that includes covering your loins and covering your thighs. Now look, nobody would say that it meant stopping short of the loins. We know that needs to be covered. So why would it mean stopping short of the thighs? It's very simple to see here that God is saying that they need to wear pants that cover their loins and cover their thighs. Now, let me ask you this then. According to this passage, is a person properly clothed? Let's take men, because this is an example dealing with men. If a man is wearing shorts that do not cover his loins and thighs, is he clothed according to the Bible? Is his nakedness covered?
No.
His nakedness is exposed. So if I'm wearing shorts that are halfway up my thigh, they are not as long as what God prescribed here. Therefore, my nakedness is not covered. I mean, I'm not getting complicated this morning. This is really simple. That in order, according to the Bible, for me to have my nakedness covered, I need to wear clothes that cover both my loins and my thighs. Period. End of story. Go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah chapter number 47. And see, God doesn't leave us scratching our head here. He explains things for us. And Exodus is a foundational book. It's the second book in the Bible. And it's really the first book where God begins to lay out his laws. Because in the book of Genesis, what we're reading is more of a story, right? In Genesis, you read a story about Adam and Eve, you get into Noah, you get into Abraham, okay? Then when you get into Exodus with Moses, the Bible says the law was given by Moses, and we start to see the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. When we get into chapter 28, he's explaining about covering your nakedness through clothing. And in that foundational book, he explains what covering your nakedness is. Now, go to Isaiah 47:1. It says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy what?" So back to the shamefacedness. "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." So notice here, in verse number 3, he says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered." And in verse number 2, he just finished saying, "Uncover the thigh." Do you see that? Now, if your thigh was insignificant, if your thigh didn't matter, if exposing your thighs was a normal thing to do and you're still clothed, why would God say, "Uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered," in the same breath? Now, if this were the only verse in the whole Bible that dealt with the thighs being naked in Isaiah 47, you know, you might say, "Well, Pastor Anderson, that's your interpretation." But when you've already got Exodus 28:42 clearly spelling out to you that you must have your loins and thighs covered to have your nakedness covered, then you come to Isaiah 47. This matches up with that perfectly. And so, therefore, if you are exposing your thighs with your clothing, and look, we're getting into summertime, and there are going to be all kinds of thighs all over Phoenix and Arizona that are going to be exposed, and it isn't right, and my daughters aren't going to be doing it, my wife isn't going to be doing it, and as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I don't care if everybody else does it. You know, and you know, you say, well, I go to this church and I'm going to do it. You know, go ahead and do it, but I'm not going to approve of it. I'm not your boss. I'm not your daddy. I'm not your husband. But I don't approve of it. And I'm going on record right now saying that this is what the Bible says, and I'm going to preach it, and I believe it. And if you go out and do what you're going to do, that's between you and God. But I don't stand for it. I don't believe in it, and I'm preaching against it because it's my job to preach the whole Bible. Right. And this is part of the Bible. And so this is for all the short shorts on women, and on men for that matter. Yeah. You know, if you're wearing those little shorts with a little triangle cut out with the little three stripes on the side from the 1970s, thank God those are out of style.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God. But let me tell you something. It isn't right. We ought not wear it. We ought to wear, and you say, are you against wearing shorts, Pastor? I'm not against a man wearing shorts that go down to his knee. Just like the Bible said. You'll see me wearing them. You know, I've worn them. But I don't believe that it's right to expose your thigh. Because God flat out said it. Now, for example, I participated in sports before. And sometimes for sports, they'll stipulate a certain uniform that involves a short pair of shorts, right? Have you ever been in a sport that stipulates something like that? Lots of people can say that. You know what? I won't do it. Because, for example, I did a kickboxing match. And you had to wear special Muay Thai shorts, and the shorts were short, the Muay Thai shorts. And you know what I did? I put on a pair of shorts underneath it that went down to my thigh. And I've even I put on shorts underneath it that went down to my knees, okay, that covered my thighs, and then I put the Muay Thai shorts over it. Because I said, you know what? I'm make sure that I'm fully clothed here. I don't want to go in mixed company. And be have my nakedness be exposed. And so this does matter. This is important. This is a serious issue. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and keep reading. 1 Timothy chapter 2. But we wanted to deal with that part on shamefacedness. You know, and women today and men alike seem unashamed to just go out and expose their nakedness. Now, our society will not tell you to be ashamed. But the Bible does tell you to be ashamed.
Amen. Yeah.
And so the short shorts on women, even worse, the swimsuits, the bathing suits. You say, well, when I went to Christian school, for example, I went to Christian school, they said that the women had to wear a modest one-piece bathing suit. Okay. And to them, modest was just that it was one piece. But did it go down to the knees?
No.
Absolutely not. It went to like here. I mean, it barely covered the loins, if you're lucky. That's what they meant by modest, cover the loins. Well, you know what God means by modest? Cover the thighs.
Right. Yeah, amen.
And they didn't have it covered at all. And these so-called modest one-piece bathing suits are an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. If it isn't right to walk down the street or come to church wearing a bathing suit, any woman who walked in here wearing a bikini, people would be scandalized. People would think it was obscene if someone walked in here in their underwear. But then you go out to the lake, you go out to the river, you go out to a swimming pool, and you come out in your underwear. And just because society has told you that it's right, that doesn't make it right. Because God is the one who decides what's right and wrong. And if you don't believe in God, and if you don't believe in the Bible, you have no basis for right and wrong. Because if you believe that we are animals descended from ape-like ancestors and that this whole world is just a scientific explosion of a Big Bang and that we're all here by accident, then you can pretty much go out and wear whatever you want and nobody can tell you what's right and wrong because there's no such thing as right and wrong. But if God, in the beginning, created the heaven and the earth, then He's the one who decides what's right and wrong. And it's not the United States of America culture in 2012 that decides what's right and wrong. It's not TV that decides what's right and wrong. It's not your school rules that decide what's right and wrong. It's not even this church that decides what's right and wrong. It's not Pastor Anderson. It's one person and one person alone, and that is God Almighty. And I defy you to show me a scripture in the Bible that tells you that it's okay to expose your thighs when I just showed you two that said it's nakedness. And so there goes the basis. You say, well, you just never want to go swimming. I like to go swimming. I have a swimming pool in my backyard. I'm not against swimming. I'm all for swimming. My wife goes swimming. I go swimming. But you're not going to believe this. We go swimming with our clothes on. Okay? Because I'm not against the swimming. I'm against the public nakedness and public nudity. I'm not against the swimming. I don't have a problem with swimming. You know what I do? I go swimming with my nakedness covered.
Amen. You say, well, that's easy for you to say because you're a guy.
And so it's very simple for you to put on a long pair of shorts and you're gonna look normal, you're gonna fit in. You know what? But is that what determines right and wrong? Being normal, fitting in? Is that how you decide what's right? But that, and I'll tell you this, my wife, when she goes swimming, she wears a bathing suit that is basically a swimming dress. It's not some skin-tight, a wetsuit. She puts on literally a swimming dress. And you say, oh, she's going to look like a weirdo. She's going to look like a freak. She looks great. My daughters wear them. They look great. They look beautiful. And they're completely feminine. They're completely covered. It's a total long skirt. And they swim around, and it doesn't mess them up at all. And it's out there, folks. And you say, well, I have access to that. Then you know what? Then don't go swimming. Or go swimming with other ladies only. Or go swimming by yourself. Or go swimming in a private place with your family. But you know what? You ought not publicly go down and strip nude and say, well, this is what they sell at the store. Well, you know what? You know what? They sell the same thing for men, too. Now, it's not popular in America, thank God. But if you go to Germany, and I've been to Germany many times, and my wife's from Germany. You go to Germany, nobody's wearing swim trunks down to their knees. Nobody. You know what they're wearing? What's called a Speedo, right? Every man is wearing a Speedo. I've seen it. They wear a Speedo, and that's normal. And if you wear long trunks, you're a geek, you're a sissy, you're a loser. You know what? I'll be a loser. I'll be a geek. I'll be a sissy. I'm not putting on that Speedo. But isn't it funny how if you were in Germany, you wouldn't just go, oh, this is... I'm talking to the men right now. Okay? Men, if you were in Germany, you wouldn't just say, oh, everybody else, well, okay. You'd be ashamed to go out there in a Speedo. You ought to be. But here's the thing. Just because you're over in Germany, right and wrong doesn't change.
Yeah, right.
But so why would it change because you're in the United States and the ladies are acceptable in basically what's the same type of a deal? Same thing. And so I don't let geography or chronology or culture determine what's right and wrong for me. I'd rather just go to the Bible and see what's right and wrong. And I'm going to make sure that myself and my family, my wife, my daughters, my sons, you know, that we're dressed properly. When we go in public, and if we're swimming in public, we need to be dressed properly. And you know, the choice for my daughters is either wear what you're supposed to wear or don't go swimming. And they don't have a problem with it because you know what? They look great. They do not look silly or foolish. I'm not saying you have to, you know, dress like Little House on the Prairie here. But I am saying you ought to be dressed in a godly manner that covers your nakedness. And you ought to have some shamefacedness and sobriety about the way that you dress. Let's keep on going here. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says, I'm in the wrong chapter here, let me get there. It says, I will therefore the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, here, God talks about modest apparel as being clothing that is not expensive. Okay? Now, notice the term at the end of verse 9. Costly array. What does it mean to be costly? It means it costs a lot of money, right? And the Bible says, and look, this is what the Bible says. A lot of people have their own rules and their own opinions. The Bible says that women should not wear costly array. Period. Right. Now you say, what's your point? What are you trying to say? Well, keep your finger there and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to explain to you why that's so significant. Why he brings that up. 1 Peter chapter number 3. The Bible says the same thing. He said that they should not be wearing a costly array. He says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning. And watch, he uses the same words here. Of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on or apparel. So he mentions there again the putting on gold and putting on apparel, meaning costly array, meaning expensive clothes. When the Bible used the word apparel, he's talking about expensive clothes. Like he talks about Esther putting on the royal apparel. He's talking about a fancy, expensive outfit. He says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Notice the bringing up of price tag. He says, you know what's really valuable is not an expensive piece of clothing. He said, what's really valuable is what's on the inside of a godly, righteous, virtuous woman. Like the Bible says in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It doesn't say, you know, the price tag of the bank statement when you get the bill from the credit card of the department store is going to be above rubies. He's not saying you're going to have to use rubies to pay for the credit card statement after she goes shopping at Nordstrom or something. He says that her price is far above rubies. What should be a great price is your value as a person, not your value of your wardrobe. Okay? He says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Back to 1 Timothy 2. So we saw that very clearly reiterated. Now, what does the word modest mean? Because God says that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. Well, let me ask you this. If I said that someone makes a modest living, he makes a modest living, am I saying that the person is filthy rich?
Nope.
No, a modest living means you're not making a huge amount of money. It means you're basically making just enough to get by. I mean, it's not too little. A modest living means he's not making too little, but he's not making a huge amount either. Now, what if I said that someone were very modest? Let's say there were someone who was very good at playing basketball, right? Let's say I met some NBA basketball star. And it's funny, I was talking to my friend, Brother Roger Jimenez. His wife was out soul winning. And she won to the Lord an NBA basketball player. And he was a professional basketball player. He played for the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, because when you go out soul winning and you knock every door. You know, I've given the gospel to congressmen. I've given the gospel to just everyone. My dad, listen to this. My dad, when he went soul winning in the 1960s, he gave the gospel to Gilligan from Gilligan's Island. Seriously. And he went through the whole plan of salvation with Gilligan. And Gilligan did not get saved. But he listened to the whole thing. Hopefully my dad just planted the seed. And I hope that someday Gilligan did get saved after that. You know, and maybe he got the skipper saved. I don't know, you know. Maybe one day we'll get there and to heaven and they're all going to be there. I don't know. But anyway, when you go soul winning, you reach everybody. And my friend, Brother Roger Jimenez, his wife was soul winning in Sacramento. And she won a player from the NBA, from the Sacramento Kings, to the Lord. But you know what? God's not a respecter of persons. Wasn't any more important than anybody else she won to the Lord that week, right? But it's just funny, and I'm using it as an illustration because let's say she would have, you know, knocked on this door, and let's say she were a basketball fan, which she's not, okay? And let's say she would have said, wow, you're a really great player, you know, I've been watching you play, you're really good. And what if he would have just said, oh, you know, no, I'm, you know. And he just kind of brushed off and said, you know, I'm just doing my best, you know, I'm not really anything special, you know, I'm just, you know, we have a great team. You know, it's really the other players on the team that really are backing me up. And wouldn't that be a modest thing to say?
Yeah.
Right? What if he said, well, thank you very much, actually, you know, I was born with it, you know? And I don't and you know, it's just trying to get the rest of the team to keep up with me is the hard part, you know. And they keep dropping the ball. That would be immodest, wouldn't it? Or what if I got up here in this morning and said, let me tell you how great of a guy I am. You know, wouldn't you say that'd be immodest? Right? Whereas modesty is someone who doesn't sing their own praises, right? You know who's not modest? Politicians, right? Because politicians go around, I did this, and I've done this, and I'm this. Okay, that's immodest. Does everybody understand the meaning of the word modesty? Whereas modesty is somebody who does not sing their own praises. They don't toot their own horn. They don't say, look at me, I'm wonderful, I'm great. So when God says modest apparel, what he's saying is apparel that's not drawing attention to you. Look at me. Look how great I am. Let me show off to you. That is what it means to be immodest. And what it means to be modest is when you're not drawing attention to yourself, you're not lifting up and exalting yourself, but you're dressed in a way that is humble and not drawing attention to yourself. Now, that's why he brings up gold. Is gold cheap or expensive? Gold. What about pearls?
Expensive.
Silver, yeah. Gold, silver, pearls, costly array, expensive clothes. Now, these politicians' wives, you know, I think I saw something in the news. I didn't read the article. I don't really care about this stuff. I'm not really following politics much these days. But I saw something that said there were some scandals about, look how much this woman bought this blouse for $1,000 or something. You know, or they said, look at this woman bought these shoes for $800. Or look at this. And you know what? I'll say right now, it isn't right. And my wife will never buy a blouse for $800 or $1,000. And she will not be adorned in gold, silver, and costly array. Because it isn't right. You say, I've never heard that preached before. It's so great that you're here this morning then. I'm so glad you're here because you needed to hear it. Because you've never heard it before. You know, and people will say, well, I've never heard that before, so it must not be right. But you're hearing it today, and it's so good that you came to a place where you could learn something new. Instead of just hearing somebody beat the same old drum over and over again. Now go back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 23. Isaiah chapter number 23. And people will say, oh, you got to keep going to Isaiah and Exodus. You know what? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so let's go to Isaiah 23. Now, I want to make this clear. When I say that I'm against expensive clothing, because the Bible flat out said that women should not wear costly array or expensive clothing. I'm talking about, you know, spending $1,000 on a blouse. I'm talking about an $800 dress. I'm talking about, you know, shoes that cost $1,000. Now you say, well, where do you draw the line? I'm not drawing the line. You know, you should be able to use your own judgment and see what does God mean when he says costly array, costly apparel. I'll tell you what it is. It's immodest. It's when you're wearing it because it's fancy and expensive in order to impress. Mm-hmm. You're not buying a $1,000 blouse because you just like the way it fits. You're buying a $1,000 blouse because you're trying to show off. You're trying to impress people. You're trying to draw attention to yourself. You're trying to be immodest. Now, look at Isaiah 23, because I do want to say this. We ought to buy, there's nothing wrong with buying nice clothes in the sense that they're quality clothes that are durable clothes. Look what the Bible says in verse 18 of Isaiah 23. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. For her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. So nothing wrong with spending money on proper food, sufficient food, healthy food, and on durable clothing. I'm not saying go out and buy cheap clothes that fall apart. I'm not saying to go down and buy every made in China piece of clothing where the buttons are falling off, the zippers bust, and you say, well, I'm just trying to wear modest apparel. I'm not saying that you have to wear cheap and junky clothes. It's okay to buy durable clothes. It's okay to buy something that's going to last, that's a quality item. But it shouldn't cost an arm and a leg, because if it does, if you're going to the mall and you're buying all this exorbitant, expensive, lavish clothing, you're not buying it for the right reasons. You're buying it to impress people, to show off. You're not giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bringing glory to self. When you decorate and ornament yourself up like a Christmas tree, instead of letting it be the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which God says that is of great price, you are dressing wrongly. And you need to wear clothing that's modest. Now, I think you should dress nice. Now look, I'm wearing nice clothes as far as somebody would look at me and say, he's dressed up, he's dressed nice, because I'm wearing a suit and tie. Okay, but this suit cost me $10. Okay, because I bought it used, because I'm not out trying to impress people with my Italian suits and my special shoes that are $100 and $200. And I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a $100 pair of shoes if if it's a quality pair of shoes. Like I bought, you buy running shoes, they're going to be expensive because they have all kinds of features. And you might, you might buy a $100 pair of dress shoes because they are performing the way that you want them to perform. You know what I mean? Because, you spend a lot of time on your feet. Some people, they wear dress shoes 8 hours a day. You're going to want to buy shoes that perform. But you ought not go out and buy shoes that just have a massive price tag. Just look at me. Look how much money I have. I can afford these shoes. I mean, does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You shouldn't dress to impress. You should just wear nice clothes, durable clothes, look classy, look nice, but don't go out and be flashy. And when he says, not with broided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, that means you're not just all glittered all over and sequins. You don't look like a Las Vegas showgirl. No offense to our visitors from Las Vegas. But you don't want to look like you're walking down the Las Vegas Strip. You're all glimmering and, look at me, everybody, see me? That's what the Bible's saying is immodest. Now, I will say this, that some people, in their quest to be modest, they become immodest. Now, let me explain to you why. Some people will purposely dress like people dressed 150 years ago, but they're doing it to get attention. Because think about it. If you dress like people dressed 150 years ago, like if you dress like Little House on the Prairie, and you have just these homespun, homemade garments that look identical to a pioneer woman from 150 years ago, that is just completely out of place, and you walk into the grocery store, are you drawing attention to yourself or not? Think about it. I mean, if you walk in dressed like you're Amish or dressed like Little House on the Prairie and you walk into the grocery store, you walk into the airport, you walk into wherever you go about your daily life, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. I don't believe that that's modesty. I'm not impressed by that. Because you're trying to draw attention. Look at me. I'm dressed like... And look, by the way, I go to the airport and I'll see like a Catholic priest and he's wearing a dress, he's wearing a collar turned around backwards, and he's wearing like a gigantor crucifix hanging around his neck. What's he trying to do? Everybody look at me. I'm a holy man of God. Right? Isn't that what he's trying to do? Or the same thing with the nuns. They'll wear this crazy outfit because they want to draw attention to themselves. Look how holy I am. Look how righteous I am. Okay? And the Pharisees did the same thing. The Bible talked about how they loved to go in, the men, the Pharisees, they would go in these really long garments. Why? Because they were trying to show off and draw attention to themselves. So when the Bible says modest, it's a two-way street. You shouldn't go out to make people look at you and to stand out like a sore thumb. And so you can dress in a way that covers your nakedness, that is durable clothing, not junk that's made in China necessarily. You can wear nice clothing that's durable clothing that covers your nakedness, but that's not drawing attention to yourself. That's not the purpose of getting dressed in the... What can I do to get everybody looking at me? Be godly, be righteous. Then you'll have the right people looking at you, by the way. And when you go out and you're flashy and you're immodest, you're going to have all the wrong people looking at you, ladies. And so you ought to let this sink down into your ears because it's very important. When you dress, you should follow these guidelines. And ask yourself, is this modest? Is this something that's covering my shame, biblically? And am I wearing this just to get men looking at me? Am I getting this just to show off to all the ladies how much more money I have than they do? And this is what a lot of people do that are wealthy. And I'm not angry at wealthy people this morning. Some people have wealth and money and they've been blessed with riches. Fine. That's fine and dandy. But you know what? This thing of just spending money on lavish clothing in order to show that off, it's a sin. Because violating the scriptures here is a sin. And if God's commanded you not to wear costly clothes, you say, well, I've got $1 million. I can afford these expensive clothes. Yeah, but you can afford gold and pearls and all this fancy stuff, but does that make it right when God said not to wear it?
Right.
Find something else to do with your money. You know, that's what God said. And so I don't believe in that. No, but not only that, let's talk more about clothing here. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. And I'm being very scriptural here. I'm not preaching my own opinion this morning. Everything I've said, I feel that I've backed up with Scripture. If there's something that I've not backed up with Scripture, come confront me about it after the service and show me your Scriptures. But look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 8. The Bible reads, "Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle apart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." Now let me ask you something. Was this woman for sure a harlot? Was she a harlot? No. It doesn't say there met him a harlot. Now, what is a harlot? A harlot is a prostitute. That's the word that we would use today. Prostitute. Now, the Bible doesn't say that there met him a harlot. The Bible says that there met him a woman who was wearing the attire of a harlot. So that means that she was a woman who maybe or maybe not necessarily a harlot, but she was dressed like a harlot. Now, how would you like it if God looked down from heaven and looked at what you were wearing and said, "You're wearing the attire of a harlot"? How would that make you feel if you knew that God in heaven looked at you and thought, "That's the attire of a harlot"? Because that's what he looked at this woman. He looked at this woman in Proverbs 7 and said she was wearing the attire of a harlot. How would you like God to think that about you? And that ought to make you think about the way you dress. Now, what do harlots wear? Now, I've seen harlots before, just in the course of my job and in the course of my life and my travels. I've seen harlots before. And I'm not talking about I watched some Hollywood movie that glamorized harlots. I'm saying I've seen them in real life in all of their toothless glory. Okay? And I, you know, real harlots are a little different. And I'm not saying they're all like that, but I've seen that variety for sure. And let me tell you something. The harlots that I've seen, let me just tell you what they were wearing. They were wearing short skirts. Does anybody disagree with that? They were wearing short skirts, low-cut tops, or short shorts. What are they doing? They're exposing their thighs. Now, were they dressed in a very modest way? No. Not only did they wear short skirts, or not only did they wear short shorts, not only did they wear a low-cut top to expose as much of their cleavage as possible, but they dress in a very flashy way because they're basically a walking advertisement. Right? They don't carry a sandwich board in front of them. "I'm a prostitute," you know? They don't carry around signs like that. You just look at them and see the way they're dressed and see the way they look and you know, that's a harlot. Okay? And they want you to know that they're a harlot because that's how they advertise. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So why do I see so many teenagers dressed like that?
Yep. Go ahead.
And listen to this. If it's not for sale, take down the for sale sign.
Yep.
And you know, you've got ladies and young girls going around and they are wearing the attire of a harlot. I'm not saying they're a harlot, but they're dressed like one. And so when you are showing off your body, what you're saying, your actions speak louder than your words. You're saying, "I'm a harlot." Or you're saying, "I'm easy, I'm sleazy, I don't respect my body, I don't respect myself, I'm ready to hop in the sack with whoever comes down the pike." That's what you're saying when you dress like a prostitute. And you ought to get that kind of a wardrobe out of your life and start dressing in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God. And you know you're doing it to get attention, but you're getting the wrong attention. The Bible says, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And notice, it says he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, if I were you ladies, I wouldn't want men that I don't even know committing adultery with me in their heart. That ought to bother you, that they're committing adultery with you in their heart. And so you ought to dress in a way that would not be conducive to that, and you ought to dress in a way that honors and glorifies God. You say, "Well, you know, at school I'll be made fun of." But you know what? At school, there are girls who aren't even saved, who are atheists, who wear to school sometimes long skirts or dresses or modest shirts. I mean, if you when I was in high school, every girl that wore a skirt and that was dressed nicely and modestly and feminine, you didn't just think, oh, there's a Baptist, there's a Christian, there's a religious fanatic. I never thought that. Because honestly, there were all types of girls that would wear that. And honestly, I don't think that there is any woman who never dresses like that. I mean, it seems like every girl would dress like that some of the time. At least would wear something that was nice, something that was modest and feminine. So it's not like you're being told by God here to just wear some crazy outfit. Okay? He's telling you the opposite. Just wear normal clothes. And it's the others that are trying to draw attention to themselves with the way that they dress. And so modest apparel, not the attire of a harlot, not showing off money, not showing off expensive tastes, not showing off your nakedness, not showing off your body. Rather make it about who you are on the inside than about showing off your body on the outside. Also, go to Deuteronomy 22:5. Let me say this. When it comes to clothing, it's not just covering your nakedness. It's not just shamefacedness about being nude. It's not just being modest and not showing off your body and not drawing attention to yourself and trying to be the one who all the guys are staring at. And look, if you're a married woman, God help you if that's what you're doing. Yeah. Now, look, if you're unmarried and you're doing that, it's sin. And if you're unmarried and you're doing that, you're attracting the wrong kind of guys. You're sending the wrong message about what kind of a girl you are. Because I hope you're a godly, clean, Christian girl who wants to go to the marriage altar pure. Okay? I hope that's what you are. So you're sending the wrong message if that's not how you're dressing. Okay? But if you're married and you're dressing in a promiscuous way, and if you're married and you're scantily clad and trying to draw attention to your body when you're married, you know, that is doubly wicked. Because you ought to be trying to please one man in that area and one man alone, and it should be for his eyes only. And the lust of the eyes of other men should not be invoked by the way that you dress, especially as a married woman. I think it's doubly sin. But I'm not letting the unmarried off the hook. They ought not do it either. But woe unto them that are married and that do not dress in modest apparel. But look down, if you would, at Deuteronomy 22:5. This is another issue when it comes to clothing. The Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, does this sound like it's an issue that doesn't really matter that much? Is this a casual, you know, here's a little recommendation. It might be better if you wear clothing that's specific to your gender. You know, I would prefer that men dress in men's clothing and that women dress in women's clothing. Is that the way this is worded? No, because, correct me if I'm wrong, he used the word abomination. Is that a mild word? Abomination is things that God hates. The Bible says, you know, these things basically disgust him. He says, you know, an abomination is something that is just really bad. You know, I was talking to my father-in-law, and I was wearing a t-shirt that somebody gave me. I was wearing it around the house, this t-shirt that somebody gave me, and it said, what did it say? It said something about abomination. And basically, my father-in-law was asking me, what does your shirt mean? And I was trying to explain it to him in German, because he doesn't speak English. And I was explaining what abomination means. I just explained to him, you know, it's just something that you just really just, you know, you just don't want it. You're just repelled by it. So something that you really don't like. Like if a certain food was an abomination to you, it just means it's the last thing you want to eat. Okay? So abomination is just something that's really bad. Like, you know, there's sin and then there's abomination. Basically like a bigger sin. Okay. Now look at Deuteronomy 22:5. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so, is that some of the people that do so? All that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. Now, does that verse say that wearing the opposite gender's clothing is an abomination? Yes. No. It says that when you wear the opposite gender's clothing, you're an abomination. Isn't that what it says? It says all that do so Now, I didn't write this. Does anybody's Bible say something different? Everybody got that? Okay, it says, all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, I didn't say it's an abomination to me. It's an abomination unto God. Okay? Now, you say, yeah, but what does that mean? Well, you figure out what it means. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Now look, the word neither there. You see that word neither? Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. So he's saying, this is a two-way street, isn't it? Should men put on women's clothing?
No.
Should women put on men's clothing? It's a neither nor, right? He didn't say one or the other. He said neither this nor that. Now let me ask you this. In order to say that a man is wearing women's clothing, let's say, for example, you know, I came to church in women's clothing. Okay? Never going to happen. What would I be wearing? What would I be wearing? Let's go to the teens. Because the teens, I want to go to the teens because the teens are growing up in this younger generation, right? And so how old are you, Robert? And how old are you? 14. Okay, so we got a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old guy. If I were to come to church in women's clothing, what would I be wearing?
Guys. Glitter dress.
Dress? Mm-hmm. What about a skirt?
A little too short dress.
Hey, any length dress.
So if I came to to church in a dress or a skirt, pretty obvious, hey, you're wearing women's clothing. Now, let me ask you this, Robert. What if I wore a dress that was made out of, say, blue jean material? Is that a manly material? Would you still say I was in women's clothing if I was wearing a blue jean dress?
I wouldn't.
Would you wear a blue jean dress, Robert?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Because there's no such thing as a manly dress, friends. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like one time, Robert, I was out in vacation, and I saw this biker, and he looked like a pretty manly guy. I mean, he had big muscles, he's a biker, and nobody would have said this guy was a feminine guy, except when they saw what he was wearing, which was a skirt, okay? And he was wearing a jean skirt with chains on it. And he was a muscly guy, he's wearing these blue jeans, and, you know, if you saw him from the waist up, he looked, man, you know what? Anybody would say, hey, wearing a motorcycle, riding a motorcycle on a skirt? You know, what are you doing? But forget the motorcycle. Anybody would, I'm just kidding. He did, he wore it. And don't tell me it's impossible to ride a motorcycle on a skirt, because this Harley Davidson guy did it. But let me tell you something. Anybody would look at that and say, no, that's not going to work. That is not men's clothes. You're wearing a dress or a skirt. You're dressed like a woman. End of story. You know, even the bathroom door will tell you that. Okay. Now, here's the thing. People always get this right in one direction and one direction only. There's another passage. I don't have time to turn there for sake of time. I was going to turn there. I don't have time. But read it later in 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible talks about how it's wrong for men to have long hair and that it's wrong for women to have short hair. Again, everybody gets this right in one direction. Pretty much any Baptist church you go to, any Baptist church in America, will probably tell you. I guess, I don't know, things are getting so weird, I can't, probably not. But anyway, 90% of Baptist churches will probably tell you, hey, if you're a man, you shouldn't have long hair. The Bible says no in 1 Corinthians 11, you need to have short hair as a man. They'll tell you that all day long. And any Baptist church pretty much in America, if you walk in as a man wearing a dress, you know, they're probably going to say, I don't approve of that. You know, they might, you know, they're not going to say anything to you about it, necessarily. You know, but they're going to look at it and say, or if they're out and about and they see it, they're going to look at it and they're going to think, you know what, that isn't right. Because that guy is wearing a woman's garment. They're not going to pull out dispensationalism and start telling you, well, back then, you know, they're just going to say, no. And here's the thing, but this is what they will tolerate and what they think is okay. They think women having short hair is okay all day long. And you'll have women with very short hair, and they don't have any problem with that. But as soon as a man has long hair, hey, why has he got long hair? But then the women have short hair, no problem. And then it's the same thing. Men wearing skirts, Women wearing pants? No problem. Now let me ask you this. If a skirt or a dress is women's clothing, then what's men's clothing? A pair of pants. Now, if this scripture is teaching that a man cannot put on a woman's garment, and that a woman cannot wear what pertains to a man, let me ask you this. Doesn't there have to exist some clothing on this planet that pertains to a man in order for that verse to make any sense?
Yep.
Now think about this. If all clothing on the planet were acceptable for women to wear, they can wear pants or skirts or dresses. They can wear whatever. Pants, skirts, dresses, it's all okay. But men can't wear dresses. Then wouldn't God have just said, a man shall not put on a woman's garment, period? Wouldn't that have been enough? If God would have just said, a man shall not put on a woman's garment, period. But that's not what he said. He said the woman, he starts with the women. He says women should not wear what pertains to a man. Neither should a man put on a woman's garment. This is not the one-way street that we have in America today. In America, it's a one-way street. Men are told, don't wear women's clothing. But women are told that it's okay to wear men's clothing. Now, there was this trendy thing back in the 80s, okay, when I was a little kid. And it sounds corny, I know. But this trendy thing in the 80s was that boys and girls, or men and women, they would wear the same clothes as their girlfriend or boyfriend. Everybody ever seen that? Put your hand up if you've seen that or heard that before. You know, it's like a little trendy thing where they'd come to school or whatever, and they're wearing the exact same clothes. Is that compatible with this verse? When he said that men should not wear women's clothing, women should not wear men's clothing. If it's all just unisex clothing. Like, for example, you ever watch those futuristic things, and basically like a cartoon or something, and everybody's just wearing coveralls in the future? Everybody's just wearing like a zipped up coveralls and a space helmet or whatever? Forget the space helmet. But they're wearing a coveralls, and they're all dressed the same. Is that what God envisioned when he said men should have short hair, women should have long hair, men wear men's clothing, ladies wear ladies' clothing? And today, you'll run into people out in public, and literally, you're not sure.
Yep.
You're not sure, is this a man or a woman? And you're scratching your head. You're like, well, you know, you're looking at the hair. You're looking for the skirt. Well, it's pants. I don't know. You know, it can go either way. Now, you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you know, I have short hair, but everybody can tell I'm a woman because I'm the way I'm dressed. Or you can say, well, I'm wearing pants, but everybody can tell I'm a woman because of the way I'm dressed. But here's the thing. You're still violating what God said here. And plus, maybe you look really much like a woman, but maybe others don't when they wear pants. Okay? And not only that, but people will say this. They'll say, well, there's women's pants, though. Just don't wear men's pants. You can wear women's pants. Let me ask you something. What is the difference between men's pants and ladies' pants? Somebody explain to me the difference.
Tighter.
Tighter?
Smaller.
Smaller? Okay, right. And this is coming from the new generation. I like this.
I don't know, because I see the guys wearing those
smaller. Yeah, I know, those little skinny. You're right.
Not the same.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? The instinct I got from the right and left side of the auditorium, a gut instinct that said tighter, smaller. It's true. So wait a minute. So basically what you're saying is that women's pants are tight pants. Well, guess what? That's not modest.
Right.
Because we're looking at every curvature of your body when you're wearing tight pants. And you say, well, I wear pants that are baggier. So I'm not showing off every curve of my body. Well, then you're just basically, now you're just wearing men's pants. So either way, you can't. But either way, I don't even believe in women's pants. I just believe that pants are men's clothes. You know, the bathroom door has taught me that all my life. That men wear pants and that women wear skirts. Now, here's the thing. If my wife starts wearing pants, there could be a chance for us to both dress identical. Like, for example, we could both wear a t-shirt, and we could both wear blue jeans and a pair of tennis shoes. We'd be dressed identical. That's not what God wants. God wants there to be a difference between the way men and women dress. That's why men ought to wear pants, and women ought to wear skirts and dresses. That way there's a clear difference. That's why men should clearly have short hair, and that women should clearly have long hair. Then there's a difference, because God puts a difference between men and women. Unlike our gender-bending society that wants men to act like women and women to act like men, this transgender, transvestite society has taught us that there's no such thing as men's clothing. Well, let me tell you something. There is such thing as men's clothing. It exists. It's pants. I believe in it. Now you say, you're crazy, you're the Taliban, you're Al-Qaeda, you're a fundamentalist extremist. You know what? I believe the Bible.
Amen.
And you say, pants aren't mentioned in the Bible. Yes, they are, five times. Five times, and it's all men wearing it. Pants weren't invented back then. Get a history lesson. Pants have been around for thousands of years. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thousands of years people have been wearing pants, folks. Adam and Eve, okay, did not wear the identical clothing once they got some clothes on, okay? Because this has always been something that God has distinguished between. And so I'm not mad at you if you disagree with me, you know, but I'm here to preach the Bible. And if I didn't preach the Bible this morning, you know what? I'm not fit to be a pastor. Because if I went like this and only preach what's popular, and I only preach what already is known and believed, then there's no point in me even getting up here and rattling my cage. I'm here because I love you. I'm here to tell you the truth, okay? And if you don't agree with me, fine. But find a biblical reason not to agree with me. Don't just disagree with me because you don't like it, okay? I'm preaching the truth in love. I'm not upset at anybody. I just want you to think about these things, okay? You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Did you guys get this lecture at school,
guys? Robert, did they go through this with you at school, teaching you that women should wear skirts and dresses?
Dresses.
Yeah, they didn't.
It was like what they couldn't reveal.
Right. Yeah. So you got that part, but is the school okay with them wearing pants?
Yes.
How about shorts?
Yes.
As long as they're not super short.
My school's pretty bad about shorts too.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. He's not hearing it at school. He ain't hearing this part at school about the pants and skirts being for men and women just distinctly. He ain't going to see it on TV. Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen aren't going to teach him about it. He's not getting it on the 700 Club. And let me tell you something. He's going to get it right here. That's why he's here. To learn the truth from the Bible, from God's Word. So let's just receive the truth in all areas. And look, make it a summer where you decide, you know what, I know last summer I didn't dress right, but you know what, this summer I'm going to dress right. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to be pleasing to God, whether you're a man or a woman. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God, and thank you for these truths and guidelines, dear God. And Father, help us to be humble, not to be prideful and arrogant and immodest. Help us to be humble people and modest people that receive the truth and humility, that obey it, and that don't think we know everything, but help us to conform ourselves unto your word, dear God, and the truths that are found therein. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.